Hey guys, I wrote some new songs.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Dude, that's good by Better Than Ezra.
Shit, I should know that. Okay, let's try this one.
That's One of Us by Joan Osborne.
Okay, one more. Now, this is my opus.
Come on, that's rickety.
Shut up! I hate you guys so much!
From Buffalo, New York, future birthplace of the unbreakable tailgating folding table, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. We talk about the ups, downs, backwards,
and snow up to here
of being a local musician in Western New York. I'm your host, Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Dennis Reed Jr.
Wait, what?
Ryan, I did everything you told me to. I shaved my head, I got a video with 100,000 views on YouTube, and I learned the entire Grateful Dead catalog on mandolin.
And now you're our host. I'd like to introduce our newest co-host, Nate Nawortia.
Close enough.
So obviously I need to discuss the elephant in the room. Dennis Reed is no longer with the podcast. As we often discuss, working together in any sort of creative manner can be difficult. And after 5 years of working very closely together on two different projects, it was just time for a break. I still consider Dennis a close friend, and he is always a friend of the podcast. This podcast would not exist without Dennis. I was a guy with some cool ideas, but no way to implement them. And until we both fell down the rabbit hole together on podcasting. So I cannot owe him enough gratitude for what he helped me start. And hopefully time will heal some of those wounds. Because that fucker still has my copy of Mulholland Drive. And he's had it for like 4 years. And I really want it back. So with that, we will soldier on. And we're going to continue our mission of supporting the local music scene. And showing you what goes on behind the curtain. Here at the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. We're going to be messing around with our format. We're going to be trying a lot of little fun things here, a lot of new stuff. So, you know, it's a little scary being in this really nice studio with a new host, but I'm really excited to see where things go from here. And we're back. Now, before we talk to Nate, I did want to mention that we don't have a guest this week, since it has been about 6 weeks since I've last been in a studio with any of you guys, or... Yeah. We figured there was a lot to talk about between Infringement Festival and Warped, and we're going to also introduce a new segment that lets me, Nate, or Will talk about our favorite local artists. And this episode later on, Nate will be talking about Fernway. So to the man of the hour, Nate, welcome.
I feel really happy to be here. It's cool. You know, you guys are really plugged into the local scene, and I admire that. And I'm glad to be a part of the team.
Awesome. Cool. Let's start off with a game, guys. I have made a reel not real based off of my experience at Infringement Festival. All right. Reel not real. Infringement Festival edition. First, Ryan broke his cane playing percussion on a garbage can with Bass Pro and the Waterfront Revivalist, a community marching band that begins both opening and closing ceremonies with a parade ending in front of Nietzsche's.
I'm going to say that's not real.
I'm going to say it's real.
Nate is correct.
Oh,
yeah.
I have my one of my two canes is now dented like all along the top. It's missing two of the rubber nubs on the bottom, which means it's just worthless. And as I was trying to pick up one of the nubs as it fell into the street, I pretty much accidentally jammed the end of my my cane up a woman's butt. Like
exciting.
Not even just like, oops, I tapped your butt. Mm-hmm. Like, I went like all the way up her dress.
We got
it.
Some distance in there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. All right. One of the looping performers constructed loops from numerous electronic devices, including a TV and an old Game Boy.
I'm going to say that is real.
I'm going to say that's real. That's pretty basic.
That is fake.
Oh.
Tricked us with the...
Yeah. Someone who does use an old Game Boy to make sounds is Danimal Cannon, who will be on an upcoming episode. We've talked about him before. And I actually think that looping like electronic devices, like TVs and stuff, could be really cool. I think that might be something I want to try myself, but that has not happened.
So Danimal Cannon did not play
no.
Infringement.
I'm hoping he plays next year, to be honest. I think what he does is awesome. So all right.
That was a tricky one.
Nate is up 1-0, I believe.
That's one to Ryan. If neither of us get it, you get a point.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I get something out of this finally. All right.
It's about time.
At one performance, an under 21 performer tried getting into her own show with a fake ID. Approached afterwards, she again denied it. She wrote in her proposal for Infringement Festival that she was under 21.
That sounds pretty real to me.
Yeah, I know musicians. That sounds like a musician.
That is absolutely real.
Yeah.
Sweet. On the board.
Yeah, yeah. The funny part is I helped book that particular show, so I actually had to contact Marty at Mohawk Place ahead of time and be like, I have an under 21 performer, just making sure it's cool. So
and
like,
then she showed up and proceeded to give a fake ID to the person that knew she was under 21?
The person who worked the door knows her family and knew she was under 21.
Ouch.
All right. A local bluegrass duo in overalls got on stage with two banjos. They tuned the banjos for 20 minutes and then just walked off the stage, later dubbing it as performance art.
Not real.
Not real.
Not real. I have seen similar performance art to that, though, in the past. And it's always... I actually had one guy... I used to host an open mic night, and one guy got on the stage, asked to borrow my guitar, tuned it to, like, just nonsense, and then just got up off stage and left.
Yeah,
the struggle is real.
There's a thin line between performance art and being a dick.
Yes, no, there really is.
Yeah.
On a side note, on a little tangent here, someone actually applied for Infringement Festival, and his whole idea, the whole act was supposed to be tongue in cheek, but it was basically him denigrating women.
And he, yeah, that I remember was you like, telling me about that guy.
Yeah, that was supposed to be performance art.
Right. Yeah.
Thin line, folks.
Yeah.
Thin line.
Right.
All right, next up, the singer from one band came on stage wearing flesh-colored underwear, and he was covered in stockings. The stockings had his body parts labeled with magic marker.
That sounds real. You gonna disagree, Nate?
I don't know Ryan well enough, because it'd be a weird thing to imagine that.
Well, I don't think it was Ryan.
No, I'm not saying, not me.
No, I'm saying for you to make up that scenario.
Okay. Oh,
it would take a lot of imagination.
He's pretty good at this, actually.
Like, I could never think of that, so it makes me think real, but also you're a creative dude. I'm going to go real.
It is fake.
Wow.
It is actually...
you're way weirder than I thought.
I was in a band in college, and my singer did that to win a Halloween contest.
Okay, so you're...
I'm basing
you're
some of these...
switching
these are
it,
things
yeah.
that, these are things that have happened. I'm just asking...
That's another one for you, but that's a dirty move.
See, he's not as creative as he thought.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
it's actually happened.
I'm not
to
as
him.
Creative as you thought. I'm experienced.
You're playing dirty, is what
I've
you're
seen
doing.
Some weird shit.
Yeah.
All right. A local artist dropped his pants, and tried to feed the crowd pudding from small pudding cups.
Where were the pudding cups?
It's on stage.
Oh, it's that's unrelated to dropping his pants.
He dropped his pants. He did some rapping, and then he like. Tipped the pudding cup, opened it up, and like had a plastic spoon and was trying to feed people pudding.
Like little baby birds?
Yes, almost. Well, not mouth to mouth, but
okay.
Like a baby or a small child, really.
Right.
I'm gonna say not real on that one.
I'm gonna say real.
It is not real.
I wanted it to be real. That was the thing.
All right,
we're tied up, Will.
Nice.
All right. We have four left now.
It's three to two. All right. It's anyone's game.
This year's burlesque movie parody was Strip Club, a burlesque tribute to Fight Club. Also planned was Twin Peens, a burlesque tribute to Twin Peaks, but that was very unfortunately canceled.
Do both of those have to be real?
Yes. It's one statement. Is that statement real?
Not real. I think you did the thing again where the first half is real and the second half is real. I don't like that. But
I'm
going to
say
you,
not real either.
Absolutely 100% real.
Both parts.
Twin Peens seemed very...
It was supposed to happen at Gypsy Parlor. And, right. As soon as I saw the schedule, I'm like, I'm going to this. Like, right. I need to see what this is. They did a Zappa tribute the year before, which I'm kind of sad I missed, too. And then at some point, I saw Strip Club. And it's like, that sounds cool, but it's no Twin Peens. And the name Twin Peens, come on.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's a great band name.
Ooh.
Twin Peens.
I have no idea what it was about. But there's an art installation called Suck My Dick.
Real.
Real.
Absolutely real. I kind of wish I would have gotten a chance to see it.
Bet you would.
Aw. One performer showed up with a sandwich sign with their face on it and promoted themselves heavily, handing out flyers to everyone in the room. They were then told it would be good if they stayed for the other acts. 5 minutes later, they left without saying anything.
That sounds like a regular show in
that
general.
That sounds like the most music. Yeah, yeah. The most local music thing I've
that
heard.
That could have been tonight. Anybody. That's definitely true.
Okay.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Well, it's been rare to have the instance where you approach someone and they're like, hey, you should come and stay for the other bands. And they're like, okay. And then you turn back and they're just gone.
Right.
Like this performer basically, and part of it too is about that self-promotion. Like if you just come and play, that's one thing. But if you come, sandwich sign, giant, if you ever want to see something weird, it's someone carrying a sandwich sign with their own face on it. Really trippy.
Yeah.
But, like, you come in with that. They've got all these hand flyers and everything. And then to just be, like, gone. Like, well, that to me was even, like, more than the normal person leaving.
Yeah.
Is that considered a dick move, though, to flyer for your performance at other performances?
Hers just, like, had her name on it and her website and stuff. So it wasn't flyering for other shows, just for herself.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with any amount of self-promotion. But if you're going to do that, you need to support the other acts.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot at... It's usually like nationally touring shows, so there'll be a long line, and like just while you're in line, I feel like that's cooler. If you're already in the venue, it's kind of weird, but if everyone's waiting outside, and you're just like, say, you know, check me out, I know a lot of people who do that. I know like,
oh yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
I know smaller touring bands that do that. Like they're in town in Buffalo, and if there's a bigger show happening, they'll just like go hand out flyers and stuff.
Well, I think what Will was talking about was like the self-promotion at your own show. Is that what you meant?
I'm talking like you go into Mohawk Place during a show that isn't yours, and you hand out a bunch of flyers, and then you leave.
Okay, that's what you're talking about.
Well, that's what happened, right?
That's what happened.
Okay. This wasn't a performer.
I didn't understand. I'm just saying, is that technically considered a dick move, or is that...
As long as the show isn't that night, I'm okay with it.
Gotcha.
They still do pay the money to get in, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going flying other places.
True that. All right. Good.
For me, if a singer's out at a show, I know they're available. But if you're just coming into Mohawk to hand out flyers, for all I know, you're meeting someone for dinner in 5 minutes.
Right.
So I can get that. Not my favorite thing, but.
Yeah, I mean, is it a dick move? Probably. Is it the worst dick moves?
No, of course
that,
not.
That music. I mean, there's if you're making a list of dick moves perpetuated commonly by musicians.
Way worse.
There's worse out there. But yeah, it's kind of dicky.
All right, what's the score?
It's 4-4-3. Ryan has
two,
three.
Two more?
One more. This is the last one, guys.
Well, unless you tie it, and then we have to make up. You have to make up more on the spot.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ryan's least favorite performer was a street busker who called his act moshing, party of one. He was a stinky hippie who tried starting random mosh pits. Real or not real?
I'm gonna say not real on that one.
I'm gonna say real just because I want it to be real.
It is not real. Will Webb.
That means I am the wiener.
You are the wiener. I usually have prizes, but I didn't have anything ready for today because I'm dog sitting somewhere else. But
honestly, I mean, just being in the room is the gift.
Aww.
Yeah, Will, you win. So yeah, congratulations, Will.
Sweet.
Wait, Toki, why'd you stop playing?
I have a confession to make. I can't read music.
Dude, Toki can't read music, huh? Little lad.
Can you?
No, I have music dyslexia. You know that. I don't wish to talk about it.
Wait, then how are you playing that song?
Honestly, I was just hitting any note.
Yeah, me too. That's an old music school trick.
Sounded pretty good.
So I've just finished working as kind of the assistant music coordinator for Infringement Festival, which just ended after 10 glorious days. In the previous show section coming up, I'll definitely be talking about some of that, but I know you guys kind of had some questions for me about, you know, what I was doing, what it's about, because with any of this stuff, you try and be as inclusive as possible, but regardless of how you feel about it, this music scene's in segments. It's fragmented in a way I've never seen, so I do feel like there are a lot of people who would really enjoy this that aren't. So
yeah,
what do you guys want to know?
I'll start. Just a simple question. Why?
I started with The Lady of the Tiger, and, you know, you want to make an impact on the music scene. You don't just want to be nameless. You want to be remembered at least a little bit or have some sort of legacy, and honestly, performing's never done that for me. And I'd love it if it did, but, you know, you don't always get what you want. So I started doing the reviews for allwny.com to kind of get myself more into that. And that led to this podcast, which led to the Warped Tour broadcast. And that kind of led me to Infringement. I've always wanted to book concerts. And booking a festival, like for me, I mean, I went to music school. The idea, like, you'd get high at midnight and talk about, you know, if I did a music festival, this is what I'd do. So actually being able to go and do it is amazing. And I'll probably talk numerous times about how much we need volunteers. But if you're interested in being a part of the local music scene, I've met venue owners, I've met random scene people, I know sound guys, I know people who can do T-shirts. I met probably over 100 musicians. Like, if you want to get involved with the scene and you're having trouble getting that leeway or wedging yourself into the door, this is a great opportunity for it, because we'll let anyone in, and it's a really good group of people running it who have experience, who can teach you things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kurt, who I'm taking over from, he's about 10 years older than me, but even at 36, you know, I don't know if I intend on being there for more than like 3 or 4 years, because I think it belongs to like younger people. Like, I would love to see volunteers coming in 18 to 25 who are interested in the industry, who are interested in the local scene, who can't wedge themselves in, but want to be more a part of it. And this is a great way to do it.
Can you maybe talk about an act that you thought most encapsulated this idea of Infringing that you're talking about? Maybe the most unique, or the band that most effectively combined different mediums?
I'm not the biggest fan, but I Green Schwinn is one I talk about. You know, they can be polarizing for people. They're not always easy to listen to, but that's Infringement. Like whether or not you are... And I feel the same way about David Lynch films. I don't know if you guys watch any of those, but I like it because it gets a response out of me. And I don't necessarily care if it's a good response or a bad response, but it's an emotional response. And I think a lot of the acts, some of the acts that kind of might turn people off are some of the acts that are the most infringy to me. But
why was Green Schwinn, right? So what was their deal?
Their whole kind of shtick is Tiny Tim. Basically, that's what his voice sounds like.
Yes.
And they do they do Tiptoe in the Tulips. They do some Weird Al stuff. They do an excellent cover of Girl You Want by Devo. And they're a two-piece act. And the whole kind of feels that, like, I'm singing on It's Old Timey Time. But he also has that, like, Tiny Tim, like, he gets high.
He's a high voice.
And, like, again, you know, it's you know, different things for different people. You know, they're not my favorite band, but I won't leave if they play. And I think it's cool that, you know, a part of the festival is about giving people the opportunity to play that might not get it. And that's certainly not problem Green Schwinn has. But there are a lot of ads. There's an act called Hamartia that breaks TVs with sledgehammers. There's all sorts of DJs we had, all sorts of hip-hop artists. We had a guy with a silent disco. So we actually have three artists performing at the same time with everyone wearing headphones, and they could flip between which act they're listening to. So for me, it's just all that weird stuff. Or I saw a ton of looping artists. Mm-hmm. Ghostwater, that has Pam Swartz, who's amazing, did some really cool stuff.
Is that different than Ghostpool?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Ghostwater was first, okay. But, you know. Oh, we should have them fight it out. I think that'd be great.
You need Ghostwater to fill the ghost pool.
Right.
Need Ghostwater to fill the ghost pool.
They need to work together.
Holy shit. I'm going to talk to Pam, like, as soon as we're done with this.
Yeah.
I'm booking a show. That's a great idea. But, I mean, and for me, it's so much as about the artists that infringe is, like, the places we played. Like, I did a show in Revolution Gallery, which isn't a place that normally does shows on Hurdle, where there's this great walking traffic, or parking lots, or Broadway Market. That for me is infringing, Broadway Market. Like, bands on the roof, bands in the garage, bands in the lobby. Like, that is a place where everyone who walked into that room wasn't expecting music, and they got music. And a lot of people sat and stayed and listened to it. And that, again, that's kind of what it's about, you know? You want to be able to promote and draw people, but I think it's really cool when you can have an event where people will just naturally come to it if you put it there.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the idea, right, is that you're leaving your natural boundaries of musicians, you know?
Yeah. You describe it better than I do. Hey, Nate, I got a job for you.
All right. We talked about, my last question was about
the infringiest.
The infringiest, is that our new adjective?
It works.
What about just your personal favorite? Do you just have a personal favorite?
Oh, man. Well, everyone knows I love Cardboard Homestead, because I won't shut the fuck up about them. They were exceptional. There was a band called Take Two that's from the Binghamton, Elmira area. They're kind of like a emo-y pop punk thing, like a lot of energy, super nice guys to deal with. Sid the Kid was at Mohawk Place as well. I had not seen her in person, man. She can belt. Like, I saw some videos of her from a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cute. And then I saw her live. She can sing, man. Like, she's exceptional. Ghostwater, like I mentioned, was cool. There's an act called That Virginia that we're going to be playing a little later. The Molise, which are a local band. They're a band from Japan who are doing a local residency with Robbie Goo from the Goo Dolls. They were really cool. Laura Lonsky, who is the writer of 420 the Musical, came. And she didn't perform songs from it like I was hoping, but she came and was great. There's Sarah Galli, a looping performer. It's like I could go through the schedule and name 30 or 40. I came into this expecting, you know, well, one of the things that you hear about infringement, if you don't know about it, is they accept everyone. The music sucks. And there's bad bands. Like you can't get past that. But there was so much stuff that was better than I thought it would be. Like, I thought I might end up going to shows and have, like, a couple, like shitty ones on my hand. Everything I went to was cool. Like, everything I went to, I enjoyed. Everything I went to, people were, like, super nice. So just the whole thing was great. And a really awesome segue. Shannon Vanderlaan was also one of my favorite performers. She is a singer-songwriter from Albion, and she's actually the only person I've ever spoken to who went to the College of St. Rose and got a degree in music industry like I did. She's the only person I know who I didn't go to college with who's done that. She approached me about it, and it's like, no shit. So, you know, we bonded a little bit. But this is a great song. It's called Nightmare. It has some cool Ben Foldy kind of stuff in it. The whole band that plays is great, and I guess we'll play that here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Innocent smile and gentle eyes. It may come to your surprise, a mighty disguise. So be prepared and maybe say a little prayer. Nightmare. dreams tonight. I can see the despair, 'cause I'm in you.
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about some shows we've been to lately. We've got a lot of time to recap, so, but we're still going to try and keep it short. So I'm going to talk about Summit first, and then I think, Will, is this the last one here, your entry?
It is.
Someone made a change, but it's okay. I let you do that. I trust you. Huh. Nate, on the other hand, any script changes need to be run through me in triplicate.
Yeah.
I was in a band with Dennis for about 4.5 years before I trusted him with that, so it's gonna take a little time, but we'll get you there.
Yeah, that's
fine. You're at security clearance 2, and that's on a scale of 1 to 20, so we'll get you there.
Okay.
Anyway, so first off, I saw Beck at Albright Knox. Oh, it was so cool. First off, it was in the parking lot, which is not what I was expecting. And the way it was set up is they just had a bunch of box vans, basically, like, in front of the chain link fence so you can't see. So if you ever see a cool event like that at Albright Knox, I'm pretty sure you can just hang out by the fence and no one will care. I actually heard security being like, there's people hanging out, and it's like, are they blocking the sidewalk? And they're like, nope. And it's like, fuck it. Like, they can do what they want.
Yeah.
So anyway, Colorado opened up, and they are, I believe, from Vermont. They had a Modest Mouse kind of feel to them, like a cool alt rock band. And then, man, Beck came on, and the video screens and the bands, and like almost every song he played was something I really liked or it was something I recognized. He started off with I think it was Devil's Haircut and New Pollution and Where It's At, and then started pouring. Me and my friend I went with, we were real close to the sound tent, so we ended up huddling under there, and, you know, 10 minutes go by, and it's like, do you want to leave? It's like, I don't know. Like, well, let's go to the bathroom first. And as we're all huddled under this tent, I hear this woman telling her husband, she's like, I don't feel very well. And just for, I was in the disabled section, which is, you know, what I do. She said she was feeling lightheaded, and I kind of just heard it out of the corner and didn't think anything. And we turned to go to the bathroom, and I look at her, and her eyes are closed. It's like, oh no. And like, I caught her, like, she basically just fell like right in front of me. And the guy that her husband's like, I think she might have a bacterial infection. Like, we didn't think she might have it, but then she got taken off on a stretcher. So anyway, 45 minutes later, Beck finally goes back on. I'd say maybe like half the crowd's left, and just he didn't have a lot of time because a lot of it was cut short and you know, sound ordinance and stuff, but like played all the hits. He played Loser, he played Sex Laws.
Yep, that's both of them.
Yeah, that's both of them. Yeah, those were my two highlights out of it. And he definitely played some other stuff, but I'm not gonna name every song he played.
Yeah, super boring.
But yeah, no, it was. I think if he would have had longer time, I think he would have played more material from like newer material. But I think since it was abbreviated, he wanted to stick to the greatest hits.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. I mean, he is the best Hanson brother, I think, out of all of them. Most talented for sure. Beck is probably the most creative out of the four of them.
Four Hansons, yeah. It's good that he went out on his own.
Right.
All right, next up, Infringement Festival at Mohawk Place, which was on July 26th. And I kind of talked about those bands already, Cardboard Homestead, Sid the Kid, Take Two. We also had some performances. Isaac and from Wolves of Tomorrow performed with a bass player, and that was pretty neat.
I interviewed him.
He's such a nice guy. I really like Isaac. I dealt with him with a few things with Infringement. He's a great dude. And there was a band called Leafy Trees that does looping experimental stuff, and I talked about it already, so it was a great show. The next day was the Infringement at the Revolution Gallery, and we were asking for suggested donations at the door. We made over $200 at the door. For our acts. Like, that is amazing to me.
That's great.
It's a really cool venue. It's not that big, but it's like a lot of the art spaces locally, but it has a liquor license. And that's really, I think, what kind of makes it stick out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can get wine there. So, people were real into that, and they've got their own sound system. And I saw that Virginia, who is from, she's originally from Brazil. I believe she's located in, like, Connecticut now. She is a, we're going to be playing her at the end of this segment. She's a singer-songwriter. And she does a lot of looping. A lot of really interesting little things she does. She's got a gorgeous voice, just this big booming, like, you meet her and you talk to her and she's kind of like, you don't expect the voice to come out of her like that, but she was, it's a really beautiful voice, and she might have been my favorite performer the whole time. And then, like I mentioned, there's Ghostwater that had Pam Swartz, who does everything locally, and Jess Collins and a couple others. And that was, it was really, it was kind of dancey and indie and really atmospheric. And Pam was looping a mandolin. And, like, that performance was really fun. And that, more than anything, was when I was standing outside and you see people either sitting outside or walking by and they're just like, what is that? And then the last show I wanted to talk about, oh, the Descendants at Riverworks. It was so good. Man, that place was packed for them, and rightly so. Only a small note. Turns out the guy who was the drummer from the first band, and I'm complete... The Pavers, that's it. His name's Josh Heatley. He actually sold me my first drum set when I was in eighth grade, and he played with the Pavers that night. That was just like... That was one of those mind-blow moments. It's like, holy shit. And it's for me, it's always great seeing someone you knew who was a musician when you were a kid, and they're still doing it. I love that. And they were great, and man, the Descendants came on, and they just fucking crushed it. You know, some, like, they have songs that clock in at like 20 seconds. Like this is fast punk rock. So I actually had to leave early because I had infringement stuff to do the next day. But in like the hour I saw, they had to cram 20 songs at least in there. It was like people were singing along. And it was a real great show. And it was kind of interesting, too, because a lot of the people I kind of talked to that night were kind of just like looky-loos. They're like, I've never heard this band before, but these guys are legends, so I need to be here. So I thought that was kind of cool, seeing people come out en masse for something like that they hadn't even heard of, built on reputation. And I think that goes a long way to tell you about like their legacy and all the cool stuff they've done. And then, Will, you have something you'd like to talk to us about.
Oh, yeah. So I was actually able to sneak up north into our Friends of the North Canada, and I checked out the Smashing Pumpkins on the newest tour that they're on. And this tour, they are basically spanning the first five major Smashing Pumpkins albums. So that's everything for fans from Gish all the way up to Machina. So basically everything from early 90s until basically 2000, and everything in between, things from Siamese Dream, things from Melancholy, things from Adore, soundtracks that they did. Really, really great show. They played a whopping 31 songs.
Wow.
Took about 3.5 hours of straight Pumpkins, and it was great because they had most of the original members. Unfortunately, their original bassist Darcy was not in attendance, but you still had Billy and James and Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy was there.
He's so that was good. Great drummer.
Drummers, yeah.
Great drummer. And very good show. I was surprised how many costume changes that Billy Corgan actually went through. About every 3 or 4 songs, he had a costume change. Also, a little surprise, Mark McGrath was there. From Sugar Ray in video. And he was doing some introductions for certain songs like 1979. But they played, Today, and they played... both Butterfly Wings, like all the hits that people know and some of the hits that people don't know, but fan favorites that really kind of were good, like Muzzle and things like that.
Oh,
that's a great song, right?
I love Muzzle.
Perfect place for to see a show at the arena there as well. The only complaint that I really had was that this is the first arena-style show that I've been to, really any show in a while, that hadn't had video screens up so you could actually see the band from our seats, which were, admittedly a little farther away. Yeah. They did have a really, really cool stage setup with a lot of moving things and a lot of fun, but I would have liked to have kind of gotten a little bit more of a view of the band.
Sure.
Finally, the band that opened for them, very good band called Metric. Some people know them, some people don't.
I like Metric.
Very great to see Metric.
Oh, that's a great opening.
Yeah, that was fun. But yeah, they started at like 8 after or 10 after 8, and they went until about 11:30.
That's
wonderful.
What is too much for a band you like in concert? Like, like for me, I love Smashing Pumpkins. I don't know, 3.5 right. hours.
Even if it's
like
my favorite band.
What are you guys' thoughts on
2 hours. A tight 2 hour set is perfect.
It really depends on the venue. It depends on a lot of things. Venue, if it's like a stadium show where you could sit down if you get tired, because nobody wants to stand that long. And then also how often they're touring, I think, is a big factor.
Yeah.
If I know like they come around the Northeast every year, that's fine. But if it's like
once every 20 years,
a legend, like Radiohead barely tours. Like if I went to see Radiohead, I'd be fine with them playing 3.5 hours.
So yeah, that's our that is our previous shows. So we are going to play you a track from that Virginia. It is called Unlocked here on the Struggles Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
How it feels to have the floor taken away from your feet. I'm innocent of good ways since I appreciate the weightlessness. This morning I was told the store I was knocking on desperately had been unlocked the entire time. And all of a sudden everything makes sense. Reality's laid and you can't exist. And different realities depending on I'm far behind. Am I resonating the experience I would like to find? That I would like to thoughts have become things, my powers from within. My art has become meters open like my skin. My thoughts have become things, my powers from within. My art has become meters open like my skin. Meters open like my skin. I've been unlocked the entire time.
Bum, 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 bum. That is as much of the Olympic theme song as we can use due to copyright infringement. So we had an amazing Warped Tour broadcast back on July 25th. And but the problem is not a lot of people heard it.
Thanks, Joe.
I told Joe I can make fun of him for the end of time.
Yeah.
So
can
I'm
I do
extend
that as
that
well?
To you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's extended to both of you. I'm giving you that power. I will knight you with a sword later.
And this is any Joe, right? Not just one. We can make fun of any Joe we meet. Hmm.
I already do.
Yeah.
I can't think of any Joes I wouldn't want to make fun of. So
right.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Biden seems like a cool one.
Oh, but look at those memes. You can always make fun of him.
Yeah, it's
he's
like a,
hilarious.
It's more in a loving way, you know.
Oh, yeah, of
it's
course.
Affectionate. Yeah. But so is Joe Kent. We love Joe Kent here.
I do love Joe Kent.
Think so, Joe. And
yes.
All WNY. Look at me doing promo.
Yes. Nate, that's your first one.
It's my first plug.
Every time you do that, Scott Leffler gets
yeah.
Goosebump. All right. So we have a bunch of games that we didn't play with that we played with the fans at Warped Tour, but again, no one got to hear them.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be fun to pit Will versus Nate in some of these games we played.
Okay.
So Will helped write some of them.
I did.
So
that seems
yes,
like an unfair edge.
So I am finding ones that Will is not familiar with.
Thank you.
He'll get those ones, and then Nate, you'll get another ones. And we're going to do this for a few episodes because there's a bunch of stuff to play. So this first game is called Taller or Shorter than Robbie Tackick.
Awesome. I've been preparing for this forever.
Yes, yes. So Robbie Tackick, bass player for the Goo Goo Dolls, local awesome nice guy, music is art person, kind of a big guy.
May I ask how tall... He is.
He is 5'5".
Okay.
So he's just about my height.
Right.
No, I met him, and like I at least he's a smaller guy than I anticipated when I met him. So okay. So here we go. We'll run through this quick. Taller or shorter than Robbie Tackick? Napoleon.
Shorter.
Napoleon is taller.
Oh.
Right. Napoleon wasn't that short, right? That's the whole thing, is it?
Yeah. He was about 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah, which was more average than it is now.
Yeah, so the whole idea of a Napoleon complex is just nonsense.
Huh.
They could call it a Ryan Garnett complex because I'm full of that.
All right.
They're misspeaking. All right. Is Jessica Simpson taller or shorter than Robbie Tackick?
I feel like she's smaller, so I'm gonna go shorter.
Correct. All right, we're gonna hit some females here. Oh, that didn't sound right.
Oh. Yeah.
Natalie Portman. Taller.
Natalie Portman is taller.
She is shorter. She's like 5'1". She's
really?
A tiny little, yeah. Emma Watson.
Emma Watson seems very short.
She is taller.
She's
5'6".
Wow. Wait, I'm not keeping score. Are you keeping score?
I'm doing horribly.
He's got 1 out of 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Beyonce.
Oh, taller.
Correct. Tom Cruise.
Shorter.
Oh, taller.
No. Just barely, though.
Yeah,
right?
These are all really close.
Okay.
Otherwise, it'd be, like, too obvious.
Right.
Kevin Hart, the comedian.
Oh, I feel like he's tall.
Oh, he is not tall.
He is not tall at
That's
all.
Like half of his act.
Yeah,
is just...
I think one of his specials is called, like, I'm a Tiny Little Man. I'm a
I've
grown-ass
never
tiny man or
watched
something.
One of his specials.
Good. Point Will. All right, Glenn Danzig.
Oh.
Is he shorter or taller?
You know what? I bet you he is taller.
He is shorter.
Really?
Glenn Danzig is a short guy, and if you look at enough internet videos, you can see him repeatedly getting the shit beat out of him by bigger people. All right. From the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea.
Shorter.
He is taller.
Oh, I am terrible at this game.
All right. I got...
How many more?
2 more.
All right.
You've gotten 2 out of 6, so 2 out of 8.
Ooh.
All right. I'm giving you an easy one here. Vern Troyer.
I'm going to say shorter.
Yes, correct. Mini-Me is shorter than Robbie Tackick. And last, we have Rivers Cuomo from Weezer. Taller or shorter than Robbie Tackick?
Well, Rivers had I'm going to say he was shorter at one point, but then didn't he have like something where he made his legs longer? Like he had some sort of scoliosis thing where one leg was shorter than the other, so they broke his leg and they...
Yes, that
they
is
did that, right?
Correct, yeah.
So I'm going to say he's taller now.
He is taller.
Sweet.
I'll have to, if I ever do this again, I'm going to have to do Rivers Cuomo pre and post surgery.
Right, because he gained like 2 inches from that, I think.
Yeah, no, me and a buddy of mine from like 6th to 8th grade used to tape all the late night performances from like SNL and Letterman, and one of the ones that always just like stuck in my head because when I saw it my brain just exploded was Weezer playing Say It Ain't So.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
and,
Letterman,
and you can yeah, and you can actually if you look close, like, you will notice Rivers does not move during that set.
Right.
If you look close to the mic stand, you can see he has a cane propped up on it.
Oh, I did not notice that.
So yeah, Tiny little details.
Still, right. It didn't help me win the game, but that's okay.
Well, it depends on how many points Nate gets.
That's true. So that was four out of ten?
4 out of 10.
All right.
Okay, that's...
It's mediocre, but, you know, you got one right at least. Right. Okay, this is going to be, has this band ever played Warped Tour?
No.
Yes. You already got one wrong. All right, so I got 10 of them.
Okay.
Did Beck ever play Warped Tour?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, he did in 96.
Okay.
Weezer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
Okay, all of my answers will be phrased either, oh, hell yeah, or oh, hell no. Just saying.
Okay. I will also accept, oh, no, you didn't, if you want. Corn.
Band or vegetable?
Band.
Yes, band, no vegetable.
Actually, I think you're wrong on both of those. I've heard the backstage food preparations are pretty awesome. I was asking someone.
Wait, there was no corn?
No corn.
Really?
No, too hardcore, I guess. Or it's really interesting to see kind of the smattering of bands that go in and out. Some of these on here are real weird.
Too hardcore. Yeah.
But you mentioned corn and you mentioned Warped Tour. I was really hoping at Warped Tour we were going to get access to, like, backstage where the food was. Like, someone told me, oh, you can probably just sneak back there. And I heard the bands couldn't even get back there.
So, yeah.
Fuck, I spent, like, $50 on food. Anyway, the Black Eyed Peas. Have they played Warped Tour?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they have. It's actually rumored that they first met Fergie in a parking lot for a Warped Tour in somewhere in California.
I'd like to revise my answer.
We'll do that at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Dashboard Confessional.
Yes.
No. I was stunned by that. Like he
was. Was it just earlier? When did Warped Tour start?
Warped Tour started like 96. Dashboard. I remember first hearing him in like 2001.
Really? All right, next?
Back to the game.
All right, Limp Bizkit.
No.
Yes.
God damn it.
They played in 1997. Panic at the Disco.
Yes.
No.
No?
See, I did a good job with this one, didn't I?
Yeah, they're like the prototypical Warped Tour
band. Yeah, they're just like Dashboard. You just assume and like...
Yeah.
All right. Katy Perry.
Yes.
Yes, she did, 2008. Right before she got big.
Yep.
At the Drive-In.
No.
No, they did not. Do you have any idea who At the Drive-In are?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I was just, like, the look you gave me was like...
I squinted at you because I'm just going against my instinct now.
Ah, okay.
Because literally everyone, you're just trying to trick me. I don't appreciate it. But now I know your tactics. So.
This is a stunning ruse on my part.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what this whole thing is
bring
about.
Bring it on.
All right.
I know your game,
last
Gurnett.
One. Punk Legends, Fugazi.
No.
No, they did not.
Yeah. You're giving away your...
Was it because I said Punk Legends first?
No, I'm literally just giving you the opposite answer, and now I'm getting them all right.
So I think Nate wins.
Nate wins this round. This is going to happen over many episodes.
I've won the battle.
How many did Nate get right? 5-4
right
lead.
That's pretty close.
That's not bad.
There's still many other segments to be had.
Are we going points-based, or just per win? Like, I just get one win.
I'll let you guys decide how you want to do it. I didn't think that far ahead.
I think per win.
Yeah, per win.
Because we'll never remember how many points.
That's what G drives for. But no, if that's what you guys want to do, that's cool. All right, today's winner of 1 point and a hearty handshake when we're done is Nate. Congratulations, Nate.
Cool. I'll skip the handshake.
All right, so typically we spend a lot of time talking with our guests about their favorite local music acts. But, you know, we like music too. And my thought is in our previous 19 episodes, we've talked with a lot of people about the music they like, and we've played a lot of cool stuff. But let's, like, talk about what we like and really give some good recommendations about some of the stuff that we're into. So we have a new recurring segment that does not have a name yet, where you can find either Nate, Will, or myself talking about a local artist that we feel is deserving of some extra publicity. So, Nate, tell us what's on fleek.
But yeah, my favorite local band right now doing it in Buffalo, New York, would have to be Fernway. I've been following them for a long time. They used to be called Rescue Dawn. They were pretty big in the pop punk scene. But with this new project, Fernway, they've really found a more mature, more like complex, a bit more layered of a sound that I've really been enjoying. Their latest EP that they released a couple months ago is called An Ache for Distant Places, and it is by far my favorite local release of the year, and probably just one of my straight up favorite releases for the year.
Yeah, it's I'll say it's really polished and sounds yes. real nice. Like
I'm a sucker for that. Some people don't maybe would think it's overproduced. I think it's just it's the perfect amount of production, and that's probably my favorite part of it. I mean, the band plays great and they're fantastic live, but for the record, especially local records, I honestly, you have to like grade on a curve because they don't have the resources that bigger acts do. It's like, it's local music, so you kind of expect less, but this production is on par with any band in the scene doing it right now.
Absolutely. Do you know where they recorded it by any chance?
RJ has a studio. I believe he calls it Skyway Studios, but the lead singer, RJ DeMarco, did all the production himself.
Oh, that's fantastic. It does. It sounds slick. It sounds radio ready.
Him and his dad own a studio together. Oh. So I believe it's called Skyway Studios. I know Ghostpool recorded there and some other local acts. But it's really cool. And yeah, they're really fantastic live too. RJ's voice is really fantastic. It's very a bit emo, pop punk influenced, but they kind of do take it to this more indie rock. It has a very modern sound. You know, this doesn't sound like a Taking Back Sunday record or anything else. But yeah, the songs are really meticulously composed. It's just such a tight group. You could tell, I know they worked, there was probably like a year between when they moved, transition between Rescue Dawn and Fernway, and they definitely spent a long time on these five songs. The production is amazing. It's got this really layered, there's a lot of layered, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Something like detail?
Yeah, yeah.
Like nuance?
Yeah. The production is really great. It's got this really layered instrumentation, definitely an attention to detail that you don't see in a lot of pop punk albums in general. A lot of times it's just kind of like straightforward, you know, make it sound, I guess the idea is a lot of people want to make it sound natural, but yeah. I kind of like, if you're on a recording, giving it a little bit extra, right? Because if you're at a live show, there is all these other elements. You're seeing the energy in this and this. A lot of stuff you lose on a recording. So I think anytime an artist tries to capture the exact live sound on a recording,
it falls so flat. Difficult.
The exceptions. You know, you have some really phenomenal live records, but I think they're few and far between. But yeah, it's really the atmosphere is great. There's a lot of really like subtle synths, and it's a very full, sounding record. And what I really like, because I like a lot of, I'm still a sucker for that emo pop punk sort of sound that I grew up with, but this just adds the extra like complexity, extra maturity that I kind of like need to enjoy a record.
So we're going to play a song from the album then?
Yeah, yeah.
What will we be playing?
Here is Headspace by Fernway on all WNY.com.
I'm afraid that I waste away, losing faith in the things I used to say. These thoughts, they follow me. And these thoughts, they follow me to my grave.
Oh, Ryan, bastion of Buffalo nightlife, seer of all things cool, grand champion of... Do you really expect me to read this shit?
Did you read the contract? The contract says, if you don't read the script, you don't get paid.
What contract? I don't even get paid.
Fine. Anyway, here are some upcoming concerts. On August 18th, the venerable Green Jello are headlining a huge bill at Mohawk Place. It obviously has Green Jello, who has a whole like guar-like stage show. I actually saw a picture of him from a couple days ago. They had the guy who played the original Jason from Friday the 13th join them on stage. It's just a party. It's a fun time. Yeah. They want to get people into
it. Is there Green Jello involved in this stage show?
You'll have to go to find out.
See, I'm not going to go unless there's guaranteed Green Jello, so... I'm not a risk taker.
I can't guarantee Green Jello is the problem.
Well, I have another show that night anyway.
Yeah, you do. Okay. So yeah, the rest of the bill includes Rap Rockers and Infringement performers, Lazy Ass Destroyer from Akron, Ohio. During Infringement, I actually got confused for a couple times. So when someone walks up to you and goes, "Hey, Lazy," it's really jarring at first.
Yeah. Now, is this a Lazy Ass Destroyer or a Lazy Ass Destroyer? Because that's two very different things.
Will and I are going to be at the concert that night recording some interviews.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask him. Because I have actually, I'm not going to lie, I've asked the same question.
Yeah.
Is he an ass destroyer who's lazy?
Yeah.
Or is he a destroyer who's a lazy ass?
He's supposed to be destroying asses and he just doesn't,
dude,
he doesn't get through enough of them. Or is he just bad at destroying?
He fucking rocks. I saw him in a parking lot in Infringement. The show I saw was him like, he does this like Kid Rock thing, but he's not a pretentious asshole who you want to punch in the face. And the other performer was this guy in a leather gimp mask, wearing nothing but that and short shorts, playing his guitar on top of a minivan. It was so weird. So he's just like Green Jello in that it's really interesting, weird performances. Like, I know I'm going to go to the show. Well, we're going to go to the show. We're going to see something that we do not expect to see.
Right.
And well, I dig that.
Right. Well, I think the idea, though, is we ask him how many asses he's destroyed.
Oh, God.
If he says a low number, then he's a lazy ass destroyer. If it's a high number, then
I
he's...
I see.
So, yeah, trick him.
So, yeah. We're going to figure out what the wording is. We're not going to ask him. I think that's appropriate.
Right.
You don't get to pick your own nickname.
Yeah.
Sting, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
All right. In addition to that, we got two performers from Vans Warped Tour. We have Rochester's Wyatt Coyne, who they're kind of like a folk punk with, like, they have washboard and they've got a lot of those kind of instruments to them. It's a real fun, natural feel. We have Toy Box Brigade, who's a local ska band, and they might be my favorite local ska band. We have Exum Priory, which features Nick Lucido of All WNY's Nick and Dan Show. And there's also Buried Beneath Concrete will be there, and a local band called Three Green that I'm actually not familiar with at all. So the door opens at 6. Will and I will be there with my wife Kelly. I believe Joe Kent and Karina are going to be there as too. So come say hi. We'll be interviewing bands out on the sidewalk, and that'll be real fun. And then on August 24th, blues musician and 2018 Buffalo Music Hall of Famer Willie May is releasing a new CD at Sportsman's Tavern. He is currently located. He's down in the south now. He's relocated. But he originated, I want to say, out of Lackawanna. He's been a blues musician for 52 years. And he usually, every time he releases a new album, he comes up to Buffalo, usually Sportsman's Tavern, and he has a nice release party. So if you're into blues, that's a cool thing to check out. And then on August 31st, comedy rock outfit Yellow Sauce, they're releasing their first full-length album, The Ballad of Bob Paul, with a CD release party at Stamps. I have not really heard of Yellow Sauce myself, but I know friends of the podcast, Karina DeFabio and Joe Kent, are big fans. So since our last episode, I think many people in the Buffalo music scene were very saddened by the loss of the Evening Stars, Greg Rinker. I met him a couple times. I never really knew him that well. That being said, like, the outpouring of support on Facebook and GoFundMe showed me that he was a great guy, he did excellent work, and he really wanted to help foster and grow the music scene. I decided this morning, when working on this script, I couldn't do him justice, and if we're recording this and putting that out there, I can't live with that. So I talked to a friend of the podcast and Think So Joe co-host, Karina DeFabio, who was very close with him, and she had this to say. Greg Rinker made every person he talked to feel like the most important person in the world. Every musician he worked with felt like superstars, and they sounded the part too. Greg's respect for his community, professionalism, and his no-bullshit attitude made him one hell of a guy and someone we all cherished. Greg will live on in this music community because nobody is going to forget him anytime soon. There is a memorial show that's going to be in its planning stages, and details will be on allwny.com. Yeah, Greg Rinkle will be missed, and it's a damn shame. All right, and folks, that is all we have for episode 20. Our next episode, we turn 21, and we will be able to drink. And I look forward to maybe Nate getting drunk during the episode. If you got progressively drunker as we went along, I'd be super into that.
Yeah.
Will, that sounds fun. Do you want to get drunk?
I'm going to show up drunk and then get progressively sober.
Ooh, I like this. Yeah. I like the point-counterpoint.
Okay.
I dig it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I hope I like the taste of beer, but we'll find out.
So join us on September 1st, or whenever Scott Leffler publishes this, around September 1st, where we'll be talking with Green Jello and just all those bands from the Mohawk Play show.
And don't forget to check out allwny.com and its family of podcasts, including Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe podcast,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and Shanky Turtlenuts,
and our favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn how to properly frame a photo and how the government is secretly watching all of us.
You can find us at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast and on Twitter at SIRpodcastNY.
You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, at Sir William Idol, I-D-O-L, like Billy Idol. And, Nate, how was your first show?
You know, Ryan,
I was just being polite. I didn't really want to know. You're just supposed to nod at me. It's going to take some time, Nate. We're going to get it right. That's all for us. Being a musician is chaos. Please be kind, and we'll see you next time.